Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. We'll read the last three verses from this chapter. Matthew 11, beginning at verse 28. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. May God bless the reading and hearing of His Word. I want to take you back to the Old Testament, and you may remember after Solomon's death, the people of Israel went to his son Rehoboam, and they said, "Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but now lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke he put on us, and we will serve you." Rehoboam was young and inexperienced, and he asked for 3 days to make his reply. Very unwisely, after 3 days, here was his response. "My father made your yoke heavy. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions." And you realize that Israel rebelled against that kind of a heavy yoke and harsh leadership. Unlike Rehoboam, the inexperienced young leader in the Old Testament, Jesus, our King, issues a different call. And to those who are laboring and loaded down, to those of you who this morning, despite the smile of your face, may be tired and in a state of weariness, you may be exhausted, listen to what this King says. He says, "I will rest you." Literally, that's what he's saying. "I will refresh you." He is not saying that we will never have to work again. He's not saying you can be relieved of all responsibility. You know, the fact is, sometimes you can go on a vacation and come home more tired than when you left. Physical activity, however, is not what wears us out as much as worry and stress do. Luke 5, verse 5, gives this account of the disciples who had been fishing all night, and they'd caught nothing. They were used to fishing all night. They were tired because of their frustration. It was futile. They had caught nothing. They were disappointed because they had nothing to show. And so the greatest rest we need is not necessarily physical rest, but we need that shalom that I've been talking to you about. We need that peace of mind. You know, you can sleep all night and wake up the next morning emotionally worn out. And the solution is not some drug to take or some more expensive mattress. The question is, how do we find rest? Well, first of all, there's no rest in a life of sin. Isaiah 57 says, "The wicked are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest." Now, isn't that a graphic picture? Do you remember the last time you were at the beach? Do you remember the waves just come in? Repetitious, endless repetition. And that's the picture of someone whose conscience will not let them sleep, whose waves cast up mire and mud. "There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked." The sinner is restless, first of all, because he or she was created in the image of God. And intuitively, we know that we should be a better man or a woman than we are. And there is that conscience that reminds us that we are not what we ought to be. We're restless because of the sin that we feel, the guilt that we're under. David confessed, "My sin is always before me." You can close your eyes and you're reliving those mistakes over and over again. We're restless because of sinful habits that torment us. Paul describes this when he describes the wretched man in Romans 7. "For what I want to do, I do not do. What I hate, I do. What I want to do is not what I want, for what I do is not the good I want to do. The evil I do not want to do, that's what I keep doing. Now, there's a person who's restless. They choose to do what's right, but find themselves back in the same old habits again. Paul describes this as a war that's going on within the mind of a sinner. And so for that reason, the sinner is never at rest. Proverbs sums it up like this: the way of the transgressor is hard. So, the question is, where do we find rest? We do not find it in a life of sin. You may be surprised at my second point, but my second point is there's no rest in religion. Jesus condemns the Pharisees because they lay heavy loads of guilt and responsibility on other people, but they themselves are not willing to help. Jesus is attacking what's called legalism. Legalism is the attempt for us to atone for our own sins and save ourselves through our good works. Well, let me just ask you these hypothetical questions. How many sins did Adam and Eve have to commit before they were expelled from the Garden of Eden? How much would it take to pay for just one sin? You see, the fact is that if I work the rest of my life to try to atone for one sin I've committed, I might not live long enough, but even as I'm trying to atone for previous sins, I'm continuing to commit more sin. And so religion is a treadmill of human works. Buddhism teaches an eightfold path to enlightenment. You do those eight, and really the eight things are not terribly bad. We can agree with the, but how do you know when you've done enough? It's a treadmill that you spend your life on. Islam has five pillars which are mandatory. You have to do these things in hope you've done enough. And if we're not careful as Christians, we reduce our faith to a list of rules. And the problem when Christianity is nothing more than do this, don't do that, don't go there, do this, wear this, don't watch that. Paul says in Galatians 5, do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. The question is, how much do I have to do? And there's no peace that we've ever come to a point that we've done enough. As early as Acts chapter 15 in the New Testament church, there was a dispute over what Christians were required to do. And so this council was convened in Acts chapter 15. And the question was, do all of the new converts, do all of our new members have to keep all the old Jewish customs? Should Christians be required to keep dietary laws, Jewish rituals and ceremonies? And the early church council decided this: no. Why do you test God by putting a yoke that neither we or our fathers have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we're saved. Now, you realize that sin is a heavy yoke, but religious duties and works are also described as a heavy yoke, and the early church fathers were honest enough to say this yoke was too heavy for us. That's why we found faith in Jesus Christ. So the early church has always had to guard against this kind of legalism. Paul writes to Timothy about people who forbid to marry or order to others to abstain from certain foods which God has created to be received with thanksgiving. There's always been this thing that, yes, you can be a Christian, but if you really want to be a super Christian, if you really want to be a special Christian, you need to go the extra mile. You need to do these extra things. And somehow in trusting in all of the do's and don'ts that we adopt, we find that we've taken on a yoke that's too heavy to bear. Wesley said this about Methodism in the early days. He said, I do not want the Methodist to be distinguished by actions, customs, or usages of an indifferent nature. In other words, there were sects, there were denominations who dressed certain ways and had certain taboos or certain... Wesley basically said, we'll just follow the scripture. We do not want to be identified as the denomination that only wears black clothing or that only does this or does that. You see, the real problem with all of these extra-biblical rules is explained to Colossians 2:23. Paul says such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, their harsh treatment of the body. But notice what Paul says, they lack any value in restraining the flesh. You can adopt the most harsh, the most rigid set of rules for your life and still be a sinner because the problem is within. Now, if it's convenient in your hymnal, turn with me and look at Rock of Ages, hymn 204. I just want to share, I think sometimes we sing these songs our entire life, and then maybe now and then it dawns on us what the hymn is actually saying. Look at verse 2, because this is saying in poetic form what I'm trying to say. Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All these for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Salvation comes by faith in the finished work of Jesus. And to try to earn our salvation through strict religious duties is a very heavy yoke. And so if we do not find rest by just giving in to sin, nor do we find rest by trying to adopt a strict code of ethics, where do we find rest? Jesus is the place of rest. Jesus alone offers rest. And he says, against this backdrop, come to me through faith and take my yoke upon me. Learn of me. Now, Jesus was preaching to people of the land. They were familiar with what a yoke was. A yoke was made of wood, and it was custom fit. It was carved out to fit the neck and shoulders of an animal that would be harnessed either to plow or to pull or to grind. And so this becomes a figure for submission. To bow your neck to receive this yoke meant that you were submitting to a master. Now, you may be thinking at this point, well, no thanks. You've already explained that sin was a yoke and that religion was a yoke. I thought you were going to give us an alternative. Now you say the answer is to take a yoke upon you. Do you realize that there is an apparent contradiction between verse 28 and 29? Jesus says this in order to get their attention, and they would have gotten the point immediately because they used yoke on their oxen. Jesus says, if you're tired and weary, come and I will give you rest. But then he says, kneel down, I need to put my yoke upon you. You say, well, what kind of an alternative is that? I don't want any yoke. I want to be free. I want to throw off all restraint. I don't want anyone telling me what to do. And the lure of sin is that we think we're throwing off all restraint, only to wake up down the road and find out that we, in fact, are bound by the choices and habits that we've made. And so no one has the freedom to do anything they choose with no consequence. Yes, you can make choices as an adult, but your choices always have consequences. Now, here is the freedom that we have. Your freedom and my freedom is the freedom to choose who our master will be. Sin can either be your master, self can be your master, or Jesus can be your master. Christian liberty is not the license to do anything that pops in your head, nor is Christian restraint bondage. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Everyone has a yoke, either the yoke of sin, the yoke of man-made religion. Why would anyone want to take the yoke of Jesus? Well, he says, I'm gentle and humble. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Augustine said long ago, thou hast created us, O Lord, for yourself. And our heart can never find rest till we find rest in thee. Rest is not doing your own thing, but rest is coming home. Coming home to our Father. Coming home. See, freedom is not the freedom to do what you want to do. Freedom is the freedom to do what you ought to do. Easy in verse 30 means that it's actually two words brought together. We don't have one English word that carries both thoughts. But when he said his yoke is easy, he is saying it is both good and it is kind. Now, that's the kind of an employer you want. That's the kind of parent we should be. That's the kind of God we want to serve. Is someone who is gentle, someone who is humble, and someone who is good and kind. He said his burden is light. That means it is easy to bear or pleasant. You say, you still haven't sold me, Pastor. I don't think I want to be under any yoke. Let me explain the difference between all other yokes and the yoke of Christ. The yoke of Christ is a double yoke. Now, that means, and this word is used of a balance. You know, in those days when they weighed things out, you had to put something on one side, you had to put something on the other side. So with a yoke, a double yoke, if I'm in the harness on the left side, who's going to be teamed up with me on the right side? The fact is, it's Jesus. Jesus will enter into this yoke, or this covenant with us. He's not promising an easy, carefree life, a life of leisure, but he is promising that he will help carry our load. Now, when you think about the way yoke is used metaphorically through the scripture, you immediately think of 2 Corinthians where Paul warns that we should not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, you could just see the picture. If you're wanting to serve Jesus and the person in the yoke next to you wants to serve self, you're going to be pulling opposite directions. You're going to wear yourself out and you won't get anywhere because you're pulling against each other. But Paul, in a reference that probably is not quite as familiar, writes to the church in Philippi, and he singles out a member of that congregation and asks him to assist him in administration and calls him my yoke fellow. And so, in a sense, Paul is saying that in the Christian church, when we enter into membership, when we take that covenant, we are yoking ourselves together. We're part of a team. We're pulling together. And we can do a lot if we pull together. We can't do much if we pull against each other. That's why some churches are struggling, is because they're pulling different ways. God help us to all pull the same direction. Galatians 6:2 describes the ministry of the church as this, that we are to bear one another's burdens. You say, no thanks, I've got enough of my own. You know what? The joy is, is that as I share my burden with you, and you share your burden with me, well, do you remember that quaint story about the little boy that his younger brother somehow got hurt on the playground, as I remember, and he was carrying him home. And someone says, "That's a heavy load. Isn't that too heavy for you to carry your brother?" Do you remember the classic answer? "He ain't heavy. He's my brother." And so that's how we're supposed to do church. You're not heavy. You're my brother or sister. And I'm not heavy because I'm your brother and sister. And so this yoke of Christ is easy because we're harnessed as a team with each other and with Christ. 1 Peter 5:7 illustrates this concept of the double yoke when Jesus tells us to cast all our care on Him. That word could be translated as anxiety. Cast your anxiety. Here's the picture. You're in this yoke and you're pulling and you're tired and you're discouraged. Jesus says, just shift more of the weight over on my side. I'll pull for you. In a very real sense, the poem that has become popular in recent years, Footprints in the Sand, do you remember the great message of that poem was that when there was only one set of footprints, Jesus was carrying the weary individual, the one who was going through trials and tests. And so Jesus says, enter into this yoke with me. You'll find rest if you yoke up with me, because my yoke is easy, my burden is light. That's why that is true, is because He can bear more weight than we can. Finally, in 1 John 5:3, we're told that if we love God, we will keep His commandments. Now, there's an expression that love makes every burden light. But you see, now, Pastor, are you saying that we're to keep the Ten Commandments? Yes, most certainly. You say, well, wait a minute. You already told me Islam has 5 rules, Buddha has 8 rules, now you're telling me Christianity has 10 rules. I don't see too much difference. Religion is all the same. Haven't you heard people say that? Religion is all the same. Here's the difference. Here's the important distinction. In other man-made religions, whether it's 5 rules or 500 rules, you keep trying harder. You keep hoping that you've done enough. But Paul says the harder we try, the more we come to realize that we can't do it. And that's really why God gave us the law. The first purpose of the law is to show us our total inability to keep it. The second purpose of the law, according to Galatians 3:24, is to drive us to Jesus Christ. The law is a schoolmaster or a tutor that teaches us the only way we can live right is through faith in God. Now, I'll go back to 1 John 5:3. The rest of the verse says, His commandments are not burdensome. Literally, the text says His commandments are not heavy. They're not heavy because He's pulling with us. They're not heavy because He's given us His Holy Spirit that enables us to do what He's required of us. And so in closing, we can't escape the responsibilities and cares of life. We can't avoid all pain and suffering. True religion is not an escape from the real world, but true religion equips us to face the challenges of a real world. And believers can rely on His help. We can rely on His relief because we are in it together. And somehow God never requires anything of us that He will not come alongside us and help us to fulfill. And so the choice you have is not whether you're going to be yoked or unyoked. The only choice you have is which yoke you will take upon yourself, either the yoke of sin the yoke of man-made religion or the yoke of Jesus. And Jesus will give you the power to be what he is asking you to be. That's why his yoke is the easiest. That's why his load is the lightest. It's because he's in there with us. And so, as you go back into the classroom, as you go back to your job, as you go back tomorrow to whatever your responsibilities are, by yourself it may feel overwhelming, but realize he's on the other side of the yoke. He's pulling along with you. And he sometimes will carry you through the hard places of life. This is the promise. Jesus says, come to me and you'll find rest. Not rest in inactivity, but rest through faith in him. Let's stand and ask the Lord to equip us and give us the grace for tomorrow and for next week and for whatever lies ahead. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this call to rest. It's not a call to inactivity. It's not a call to do nothing. We all have responsibilities. We all have things we have to do. But you said you'd be there with us. You said you would help us carry our load. Make us a healthy church in which we carry each other's loads and so fulfill the law of Christ. Help us as we take on the yoke, even as some will take on the yoke of a new school year. Lord, your grace is sufficient for us. And help us to find relief and rest and power outside ourselves as we're yoked up to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.